For that long. Raga adayaha. Material attachment and so on. Stenaha. Thieves. Tabat. For that long. Karagraham. A prison. Graham. One's home. Ya tabat. For that long. Moha. The bewilderment of family affection.
The bewilderment of family affection.
Angri.
Angri.
Upon their feet.
Upon their feet.
Nigadaha.
Nigadaha.
Shackles.
Shackles.
Yavat.
Yavat.
As long as.
As long as.
Krishna.
Krishna.
O Lord Krishna.
O Lord Krishna.
Na.
Na.
Do not become.
Do not become.
Day.
Day.
Your devotees.
Your devotees.
Janaha.
Janaha.
Any persons.
Any
persons. So translation. My dear Lord Krishna, until people become your devotees, their material attachments and desires remain thieves. Their homes remain prisons, and their affectionate feelings for their family members remain foot shackles. You can repeat. My dear Lord Krishna.
My dear Lord Krishna.
Until people become your devotees.
Until people become your devotees.
Their material attachments and desires.
Material attachments and desires.
Remain thieves.
Remain thieves.
Their homes remain prisons.
Their homes remain prisons.
And their affectionate feelings for their family.
Their affectionate feelings for their family.
Members remain foot shackles.
Members remain foot shackles.
Okay. Purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Apparently, the residents of Vrindavan, the abode of Lord Krishna, are simple householders engaged in ordinary affairs such as herding cows, cooking, rearing children, and performing religious ceremonies. However, all these activities are intensely engaged in the loving service of Lord Krishna. The residents of Vrindavan perform all activities in pure Krishna consciousness and thus exist on the most exalted platform of liberated life. Otherwise, the same activities performed without Krishna consciousness constitute ordinary bondage to the material world. Thus, one should not misunderstand the exalted position of the residents of Vrindavan, nor should one consider oneself highly religious simply because one performs ordinary domestic affairs very enthusiastically, but without Krishna consciousness. By focusing our passionate attachment on our family and society, we are completely deviated from the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. Conversely, if we engage our family in the loving service of the Lord, our endeavors to maintain our family become part and parcel of our progressive spiritual duties. In conclusion, by studying the extraordinary status of the residents of Vrindavan, we can see that the essential quality of their lives is pure Krishna consciousness, the rendering of loving service to the Lord without a trace of material desire or mental speculation. Such loving service to the original personality of God that immediately creates the atmosphere of Sri Vrindavan Dham, the kingdom of God. So, Tavad Ragam Lehastinas. Tavat karagraham graham tavan mohongri nikado yavat krishna nate janaha. So, omagana timidanda sha pranjana shlakaya chakshun and meditam yena tasmai shigale maha. So, we are going again to read Sanatan Goswami's commentary that has been translated and commented on by Gopi Pandit on the Prabhu in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita for the same verse. And then after that, we're going to read the commentaries of the great acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, etc. So here's the commentary of Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita given to us by Gopi Pranananda Prabhu. Here Brahma responds to a question Krishna might ask. Why should the Brajabasis expect any more from him than do the sannyasis who have renounced everything? Renunciants who have freed themselves from all material contamination obtain nothing more than Krishna. So why shouldn't the Brajabasis also be happy by having just him? Brahma answers by reminding Krishna that material desires, like thieves, rob the victims of discernment, determination, and other assets, and the home in which one lives with spouse and children is a prison that the infatuations of love keep one forever from escaping. Wow. Successful sannyasis deserve credit for somehow or other avoiding these thieves and securing release from the prison of home life. The Brajabasis, however, are much more praiseworthy because their homes, attachments, and desires, and the love they share among themselves actually free them from bondage. Brahma argues, therefore, that the Brajavasis deserve a greater reward for their worship of the Supreme than impersonal sannyasis. As we have already heard from the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, the spiritual achievements of non-devotee renunciates are similar to those of demons like Kamsa. Such demons, intensely concentrated on Krishna while striving to destroy him, being directly killed by Krishna elevated them to the status of liberation, oneness with Brahman, which in effect is attained by the Supreme Lord, which is attainment of the Supreme Lord, because Brahman is one of the personality of Godhead's own opulences. But there is still a great difference between this impersonal liberation and the perfection Vaishnavas achieve when they gain entrance into the spiritual kingdom, Vaikuntha, and reach the lotus feet of the Lord. Brahma's apparently simple prayer can be understood in several different ways. One is that Brahma is answering a potential doubt about why the Brajabasis, full as they are with attachments and desires, are more praiseworthy than more exemplary Vaishnavas who are renounced both in their external behavior and in the core of their hearts. Here Brahma argues that although material attachments corrupt anyone who has not developed a personal relationship with Krishna, Krishna's devotees have learned the value of devotional service to him, and so they dovetail those same attachments in a spiritually constructive way. Without devotion for Krishna, strict sannyasis practice renunciation in vain, because ultimately none of their disciplines will bear the desired fruit. Most likely, the results of their labor will be pride and self-delusion. In contrast, the unlimited desires held by every devotee of Krishna can never be satiated, for those desires are all in relationship with Krishna. In particular, the Brajavasis never feel they have had enough of Krishna. Brahma's statement can also be understood as a response to Krishna's suggestion that by sharing with the Brajavasis the enjoyment of unique loving exchanges, Krishna can repay them for their devotion. As Brahma points out, as long as one does not become Krishna's devotee, one remains in bondage. Thus, Krishna has a more important reason for coming to this world than just to enjoy with his friends. He displays varieties of captivating attachments and desires because he wants to entice all living beings to enter his devotional service. Therefore, since he performs his pastimes not for the satisfaction of his devotees, but for purposes of his own, why should the Brajabasis consider his debt to them repaid just because he plays with them? Still another explanation of Brahma's statement, when one reads its grammar differently, is that Krishna will be anxious until everyone in the universe becomes his devotee. Until then, Krishna's attachments and desires will be like thieves that rob him of a mental equilibrium and self-satisfaction. That's interesting. Until then, let me just read this sentence again. Until then, Krishna's attachments and desires will be like thieves that rob him of his mental equilibrium and self-satisfaction. And his abodes in Vaikuntha and elsewhere will be like prisons, because the company of those who constantly live with him will restrict his freedom. Let me read that again. That's quite deep. Let me begin with this previous sentence. Therefore, since he performs his pastimes not for the satisfaction of his devotees, but for purposes of his own, why should the Brajavasis consider his debt to them repaid just because he plays with them? Still another explanation of Brahma's statement, when one reads its grammar differently, is that Krishna will be anxious until everyone in the universe becomes his devotee. In other words, this is actually pointed out in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, also, that Krishna reveals to Gopakumar, when Gopakumar comes back to the spiritual world, that Krishna was in such anxiety about him that Krishna personally became Gopakumar's spiritual master. And then when Krishna saw that Gopakumar had come back to Godhead, Krishna embraced Gopakumar. We mentioned this last night in a little bit in the class. Krishna embraced Gopakumar and he fainted. And all of Krishna's associates thought that Gopakumar might be a demon, because they thought Gopakumar had done something to Krishna. But actually, Krishna had fainted out of extreme ecstasy seeing Gopakumar back to Godhead. So in other words, Krishna is experiencing anxiety. This is a typical thing we used to hear all the time, that Krishna's anxiety over the plight of the conditioned souls. Therefore, the devotees should go out and preach Krishna consciousness to relieve Krishna's anxiety. So there's many reasons for going out and preaching. One is, of course, feeling compassion for others. Another reason is that Krishna's in extreme anxiety. This is what's being pointed out here. Until everyone in the universe becomes his devotee, I'm just paraphrasing what's happening here, Krishna's attachments and desires would be like thieves that rob him of his mental equilibrium and self-satisfaction. And his abodes in Vaikuntha and elsewhere will be like prisons, because the company of those who constantly live with him will restrict his freedom. It means Krishna just wants to come and save everybody and bring everybody back to Godhead. And, you know, his friends are taking up all of his time in the spiritual world. This is really interesting. This particular explanation of Sanatana Goswami is definitely not just Gopi Pranadana's understanding. This is Sanatana Goswami for sure. The special attraction that Krishna has for Mahalakshmi, it's Krishna, and others in Vaikuntha will be like foot shackles that restrict his movement and prevent him from always enjoying the company of his dearest devotees. He will not feel the ecstasies of intimate reciprocation, therefore, but only the pains of separation. Thus, Brahma predicts that after Krishna leaves the Brajavasis to go to Mathura, he will always feel separation from them and always remain indebted. So another understanding of this is that when Krishna has to go elsewhere other than Vrindavan, he feels like it shackles. So there's two explanations that Sanatana Goswami has given here. That he's feeling anxiety because of the souls in the material world. And number two, when Krishna has to leave the Brajavasi, which is the last sentence here, thus Brahma predicts that when Krishna leaves the Brajavasis to go to Mathura, he will always feel separation for them and will remain indebted. So there should be an anxiety because of that. That's Sanatana Goswami's explanation. So, really esoteric things being explained here. So let's read Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's explanation for this verse. The sannyasis will object that the inhabitants of Braj are fallen in the net of material life in the form of attachment to sons and wife. And of course, we understand the principle of yukta vairagya instead of falgu vairagya. If one can engage something in Krishna's service, then that is renunciation. That is real renunciation, not giving up anything. So, However, what to speak of the householders abroad, even your ordinary devotees in other places are superior to the sannyasis. Attachment and aversion are great thieves because they steal the great treasure of great bliss from the soul. The souls are bound up in the prison of household life, so they cannot criticize the Supreme Lord after having lost their wealth. As long as people do not get the mercy of your devotees and become your followers, they remain in this position. When they become your devotees and develop attachment for bhakti and aversion for things obstructing bhakti, they become absorbed in you. These thieves, attraction and repulsion, expecting to grasp the great treasure of unlimited knowledge and bliss when they become fixed in you, give up their bad qualities and instead do good service to others. The house, which is a prison, by performance of pious and impious activities binding them up, becomes a means of attaining the eternal Dhamma through activities of serving you and singing your glories. Yukta Vairagya again. When the jiva becomes a devotee of Krishna, then the bewilderment, moha, from objects, formerly wife and sons, become causes of the expression anubhavas of prema. Wow. How can the sannyasis compare to this? My son, Sanat Kumar, has said the following to show the inferiority of such people and the superiority of the devotee. That's interesting, you know. Of course, in many cases, referring to impersonal sannyasis, but we also have the statement of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he said if he could thought he could have Krishna conscious children, he'd be prepared to have sex 1,000 times. So, in other words, one has to maximize one's service of Krishna, regardless of the ashram. It is not that taking a particular ashram will make you Krishna conscious, or being in a state of external renunciation will make you Krishna conscious. It's maximizing what you do for Krishna. That's the whole point. You know, whatever maximizes your service. And a devotee being engaged in yukta vairagya, if one's a sannyasi, one should also try to maximize his service. I was just listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada's this morning when Dr. Patel, or someone Prabhupada was walking with, told that famous story in Vrindavan, how is either Jiva or Rupa Goswami refused to speak to Mirabai. You know the story? Some of you heard the story. The famous story you hear in Braj, that Jiva Goswami or Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami, the story is told in different ways, refused to speak to Mirabai, the great devotee, until Mirabai said that actually you shouldn't refuse to speak to a woman because there's only women in Braj. There's no males. Krishna's the only male in Braj. You know, it's a typical story, but Prabhupada says it's not a true story. He said because Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, they would not refuse to speak to a lady if the lady was a devotee. Why would they refuse? And Prabhupada gave the example, or a devotee with Prabhupada gave the example, and Prabhupada corroborated the example, of when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to see Lord Jagannath, a lady climbed up on his shoulders, an older lady, of course, not a young girl, and his servant, Govinda, said, "Get down from there, lady." I'm just paraphrasing. And Lord Chaitanya said to the servant, "You're an Adivash, you're a low-class person. She's more enthusiastic to see Lord Jagannath than me." So Lord Chaitanya actually chastised his servant and wasn't upset with the lady. It's interesting. And the lady was standing, you know, on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's shoulders or something like that. Can you imagine? I think I would get pretty upset. I was going to see the deities and then just a lady started standing on my shoulders. I go, "Ah! Get out of here." You know, anyway. But Lord Chaitanya. So the point is that a real sannyasi is not someone who lights no fire or performs no work. A real sannyasi is someone who does the needful. Like Prabhupada said, when one devotee said, you know, I just wanted to preach Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada said, you should be like me. In the morning, you preach. In the afternoon, you go to the bank. Prabhupada gave that example. I'll continue with the purport here. The ocean of nations is very difficult to cross because it is infested with many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross that ocean, we recommend that you simply take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean. Although the ocean is difficult to cross, by taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. And the inhabitants of Braj have even thousands of times much greater preyment than these Grahastha devotees. Ordinary Grahastha devotees. Though you are the Purna Brahman, that means complete Brahman, you show yourself as dependent. Purna Brahman, not Purna Brahma. You show yourself as dependent upon these devotees by taking the form of their son. And then you have Jiva Goswami's commentary. Quote, if their glory is that they give everything to me, then you should go home and do the same thing. I guess that's Krishna speaking. If their glory, then Krishna speaking to Lord Brahma. Let that be. By dedicating themselves fully to you, they are greater than the Atmaramas. Atmarama means one who takes pleasure in the self. But it is difficult for people like me to surrender to you. With this intention, he speaks this verse. The meaning is this. Raga refers to attraction to objects. Adaya means that by attaining or not attaining objects of attraction, one experiences joy and sorrow. The house is such an object. Moha means lack of discrimination because of attachment to objects. Thus, raga is mentioned first, since all the other items depend on it as a cause. It means attachment. You, as the Atma, are the natural and ultimate shelter of attraction, raga, for the soul, having within it unconditional prema. This attraction, by not taking shelter of Krishna, in other words, if one tries to enjoy this world, and takes away the ingredients of your worship, standing for auspicious desires like a thief. Its followers, such as moha, are the same. The house then transforms into a prison to give the remaining punishment, since it gives intelligence opposite to surrender to your feet. Moha, taking on a special nature by the false intelligence, becomes shackles for the feet. Moha means illusion. Even though the prison house is destroyed, because raga and other products still remain, because of inability to surrender to you, the chains remain. In other words, even if something happens to your hearth and home, I'm just paraphrasing here, and ultimately the prison house becomes destroyed, or your family members die, or you get sick, disabled, still the attachment remains. That's what the chains remain. As long as these people are not accepted by you, they will remain in this condition. This, of course, also refers to the impersonal sannyasis, attraction and repulsion. When they are accepted by you, when they attain you, or the shelter of real raga, those material qualities cease to take shelter of the self. Spontaneously, the faults disappear. The person becomes attracted to attaining Krishna. And then he quotes a Sanskrit verse from the Vishnu Purana. Unintelligent persons have unflinching affection for the objects of sense gratification. Similarly, may I always remember you so that my attachment applied to you never leaves my heart. Vishnu Purana 1:20:19. Thus, when the house is offered to you, it is no longer a prison. You know, Manasa Deha Gaya Yokeshabor, Aprilam Tuya Pada Pade Nandakashore. Everything is yours, Nandakashore, my home, my house, my wife, my children, everything. Thus, when the house is offered to you, it is no longer a prison. When moha becomes a part of prema, it is no longer a fault. And Lord Kapila Dev explains this. He says the same attachment that one has to materialistic persons, if that attachment is focused on devotees, that attachment becomes the cause of one's liberation or one's pure Krishna consciousness. View. It's not that we give up attachment. The same attachment, when it's focused on the proper object. So in other words, if one's attached to the house, we'll see the house, not just the person, because it's part of your service to Krishna. What does it mean to have a house part of your service to Krishna? It means you engage your house in Kali Yuga and preach in Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada said to people who get married, he said, the first duty is before you eat, you call out. If anyone's hungry, three times, please let them come eat. If one simply remains compact in one's house, just enjoying opulent food in the name of prasadam, that's using Krishna, or as Prabhupada would say, using a shalagram shila to crack nuts with. And I was there when Prabhupada utilized that statement. The devotees were visiting different temples in India. And in one temple, they didn't receive the devotees properly. They probably didn't give them prasadam or anything like that. And the devotees said, well, we didn't get prasadam, but we went to go see the deities. And then Prabhupada said, and some of you heard me tell the story before, Prabhupada said, but there's no deity in that temple. And the devotee said, what? We took darshan of the deities. And Prabhupada said, you heard what I said, there's no deity. And you know, all of us, I was sitting in the room with Prabhupada at that time. And I was just like, oh. It was Prabhupada me. And then Prabhupada cooled down a little bit. And he said, it's like we have this Bengali saying, they're using the shalagram shila to crack nuts with. In other words, they're just trying to enjoy the facility that Krishna's offered, thinking it's Krishna conscious, but actually to engage anything in Krishna's service in Kali Yuga means it has to be part of the preaching mission. So if the house is used to invite people over, to bring them to Krishna consciousness, fantastic. But, you know, if the house is just used to hold your little children, you know, rockabye, whatever, on the treetop, you know, the song goes, then it's just Maya. So, in other words, Yukta Vairagya means to use everything in Kali Yuga for serving Krishna and preaching. The people of Braj are the crest jewels of souls surrendered to you. How can people like me who touch the dust from their feet, desiring, this is Lord Brahma, desiring to attain something, attain a position like them? Or, and here's Krishna again speaking, or they constantly serve me although I cannot repay them. They are also faulty then. O Krishna, attractor of all hearts, as long as they do not become your people and they do not attain your service, the devotees have natural desires for eating, etc., while remembering you. Thus their houses become like prisons when they sleep and forget you. They then become overcome with moha out of extreme suffering. So I'm trying to unpack this. In other words, until people completely surrender to Krishna, and while they maintain their desires, then there's some mixture there when they sleep. Or they have raga for you. The places of your pastimes become their prisons. They faint in prema, and this gives them suffering. That's another angle of vision. It's interesting how many angles of vision are presented by the acharyas. This happens as long as they do not attain service to you. Though they faint, since they have surrendered to you, the people of Braj have no fault at all. Take a long time to unpack this whole purport. So, Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Adaya means anger and other emotions. The anger of the devotees, however, becomes part of bhakti. That doesn't mean our anger is always part of bhakti. By scolding the fools, the devotees lead them to deliverance. O Krishna, directly the Supreme Lord, if their properties are for themselves, how is their attachment for enjoying matter, their welcoming guests, and showing affection to each other viewed? It is not seen as belonging to you, not te. O Krishna, who gives complete bliss, to that extent they offer respects to you, not te. Little complicated here. Attachment becomes a thief, which by its nature steals the gems of discrimination, determination, and other good qualities. Adya indicates that on attaining this, one develops anger, etc. Bhagavad Gita philosophy. Attachment. Contemplating sense objects, one becomes attached. When you're attached, you get angry. The house and conduct of a householder causes suffering by restriction like a prison. Mutual affection, moha, causes lack of independence like shackles on the feet. The meaning is this. Devotees nourish their bhakti by attachment to things they offer to the Lord. They spread bhakti by anger at persons engaged in not serving the Lord. That doesn't mean that when we go out and we start getting angry with everybody, we hate the sins, not the sinners. Not the sins. We have to be careful about taking this out of context. As householders, they show compassion for all beings by serving the devotees. But this will not happen until they become devotees. And here's Krishna speaking. If they serve me constantly, though I cannot reward them, the highest goal, is it wrong? And here's the reply. O Krishna, attractor of all hearts, as long as they do not become people of Braj, Jana, dedicated to your service, Natejana, dancing and singing with attachment, Raghadaya, they will be like thieves causing disturbance. The house will cause grief like prison. False affection for devotees, moha, we're talking about false affection for devotees, will be chains in the feet causing lack of independence. False affection, in other words, affection for devotees that we want devotees to satisfy our senses, like Prabhupada said, there's another example of experience I had with Prabhupada. One time we were following Prabhupada around, myself and Ridhananda Maharaj, and all around the country, like groupies, had a rock and roll band. And Prabhupada looked and he said, don't you understand? You're supposed to serve the spiritual master, not enjoy the spiritual master. It was like a big shock. So we headed for the hills and went preaching right away. We didn't just sit around. Oh, that was so sweet, Prabhupada. We actually took that seriously and went preaching and made some devotees.